Okay. Okay. That's us. Hashem, we are in Chayvus Halavavus, Shara HaKniya, toward the end of Perek Vav. What have we been seeing in Perek Vav? In Perek Vav, we've been seeing the conducts of a person who has the Mida of Kniya, how he conducts himself. How does it manifest halacha lemaisa in practice? So we're up to number 9 and 10 now. So the whole time we've been seeing how nichna means humility, but as we keep stressing, it does not mean just not thinking much of yourself, etc. It means being humbled before Hashem specifically, right? We're not just talking about having a low opinion of yourself. It means sensing the greatness of Hashem's presence and therefore being humbled. So the whole time we've been talking about humble conduct, being unassuming, etc. And now he makes a very interesting point. And that is as follows. Hachi, number 6 is, number 9 is Sheyin Koimin Horoshoim Lichvoid Haboyri. That he should stand up for Hashem's honor and act against the Rishayim when it's needed for Hashem's honor. See, a person can make a mistake. If I'm supposed to act humble and unassuming, then I'm always humble and unassuming. But here is where we draw the fine line. Here is where you're going to demonstrate. Is it humbleness just because you're a shy guy, you're bashful? Or is it really just that you're humble before Hashem? If you're humble before Hashem, then whatever is in his interests, right? When his presence actually would demand of you to get up and take action, you're not going to be so humble, right? So, yes, when it comes to acting against Hashem, in the name of Hashem's honor, you speak up boldly. Don't allow it to be a situation that since I let everything personal go by, right? I just let things go by. So if I see someone doing something against Hashem's honor, also I lower my head and I let it go by. You're not humbling yourself before Hashem. You're just humbling yourself in a vacuum.
More than one occasion, his personality is a very shy person, very quiet. Yeah, when it came for Hashem, you see that he was very outspoken and he was saying, this is exactly what you're saying here. Well, his whole media, his whole personality, that he was very quiet person, very shy almost. It was very difficult for him to come
to
out.
Act that way.
So you actually see this is exactly what he said.
That's a very chashuv point. But Moshe is making the point that we find this on Huckabee a number of the Gdol, that even though they actually were unassuming personalities, Taka, when it came to the honor of Hashem, they stood up like lions. They stood up like lions and they roared. Avshach, it's Taka interesting because it also seems that he moved into that role consciously. Right? Up until he moved into the position of communal leadership when he was, I don't know, his 80s. Because up till then, he felt that there were others on the scene who could be dealing with things. But when he understood that the weight of the communal affairs rests on him, he rose to the occasion. And many parts of his personality that never came through before now came to the fore. That's a very good example. So don't say, well, I'm supposed to be a forgiving and humble type. So also if I see things being done against Hashem's honor, I'm forgiving in that sense also. Don't be forgiving when it comes to Hashem's matters. Or somebody who speaks against those who are close to Hashem. Speaking against those who are close to Hashem, Nevi'im, or the pious, is an offense to Hashem himself. And therefore, once again, speak up boldly, to act boldly, and courageously. Here is not the place to be mild, humble, unassuming. Similarly, it's again the question, are you just humble because you're just a bashful type? Or is this avodas Hashem? Is that you're humbling yourself before Hashem? So, if you see that someone else is being wronged, don't treat someone else's injustice in the same way that you treat injustice is done to you. Injustice is done to me. I might let go. I might be forgiving. When it comes to an injustice done to somebody else, oh no, if I can help, there I'm not humble. There I'm very assuming. If I can help the person, I'm going to stand up boldly. Like the pasuk says, "Dinu labeikam mishpat." Deal with righteousness. Atzilu gazumi adoishek, and save the person who's being cheated from his, from the robber. Okay, and also, when it comes to instructing people, this is not the place to be humble. Yireh bnei adam avodas harlikim. Instruct people. You see that there's things that need to be spoken about, speak about it, and admonish people, and do it sharply. Command them to do what's right, and admonish them against doing wrong. Both in speech and in action, to be standing up for what's right, to be standing up for the right people, boldly, arrogantly, because here you're acting in the service of Hashem. You're acting in Hashem's interests. You're representing Hashem here. Here's not the place to be humble. Be humble in your own affairs, but not to be humble and forgiving when it comes to what's right, when it comes to other people who are being wronged. And this shows that your unassumingness in other areas is taken this very great need of kniya. It's not just the general bashfulness. And be demanding when it comes to Hashem's values and when it comes to matters of Kvod Shamayim. Here is not the time to lower your head. Here is not the time to be lowly. Like it says about Pinchas. Pinchas, right? Pinchas, who stood up and did what he did, stand up for Hashem's honor to show that breaches in the sanctity of the Bnei Yisrael and Hashem's standards would not be tolerated. And therefore, this was considered a righteousness on his part, which he was credited for forever. So this is number 9. It's a very chashuv point he's making here, that you need the yotzei min haklal l'lamed al haklal in order to truly determine that your kniya is kniya le'elokim, that it's humbling yourself before Hashem, with the stress on before Hashem, not just humbling yourself in general, but humbling yourself before Hashem, then you'll know that there are the places where humility and unassumingness is not called for. Here's the place to stand up for things. And what's number 10? She have been at the devouring. That your words are few. You speak softly. And you're not from the boisterous jesters. Meaning, the idea here, again, is coming back to the point of that a person always feels like he's in an awesome presence. Always feels like he's in an awesome presence. When a person is in the presence of a king, he's not going to banter with his friend. Not going to banter with his friend. You stand with a certain gravity. Even if you're talking to somebody else, not the king, you're going to speak with a dignity that befits the royal court. Right? So here as well, we're saying, when you're in the presence of Hashem, you're not going to speak boisterously. You're not going to speak assertively. You're always with a certain inhibited air. In fact, it's Ad Kedei Kach, right? It says that a person, you know, that a person is mevazeh Talmud Chacham Zonah Pikoyros, right? If a person disgraces a Talmud Chacham. But the Gemara says even more than that. Hamevazeh chavera b'fnei talmid chacham. If a person insults somebody else in the presence of a talmid chacham, that also is deemed an apikoros in the Gemara. What's the idea? The idea is the point that we're making. If you have the proper reverence from the talmid chacham, you are embarrassed. You're bashful to be acting a certain way in front of him. So this is what we're saying about being in the presence of Hashem. I must say, this keeps coming up. Okay, it's going to come up again. I'll just say something my father-in-law, Zichrono Livracha, was nifter about 3 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. He was the ultimate Eved Hashem. And being around him, there was always just a certain noble dignity about him. That him, Amish, this Nakuda, see how it had a natural effect on kids. Like you didn't want to be silly around him, make silly jokes. Even though he was quiet. He was not the type to look at you sternly if you made a silly joke. He wasn't that type at all. He was quiet. But my daughter just related, she's now married. She said she remembers when we were in Toronto once, the house there, and she was about 5, and she was playing with my wife's brother, who was about 8 at the time, 2 little kids, and they were doing some really crazy, silly, wild game. And then she said that Zaidi, my father-in-law, came into the living room, and she was 5 years old. She just said to my brother-in-law, she said, let's wait, we'll do it later. It wasn't because he didn't give off any kind of intimidating vibes. It was just a certain rainimus that surrounded him that you felt like, a minute, you have to be acting in a more toned down, dignified kind of way. So this is a dogma, but he's saying when a person is living constantly with that sense of being humbled before Hashem, meaning I sense the awesome presence, we're talking about the Talmud Chacham, we're talking about the presence of Hashem. So, yes, everything is with certain low tones. A person is not overly boisterous. A person isn't out there making strong statements. Ma'at shvus b'shem al ha'emes. A person won't make shvus with Hashem's name, even when it's true. V'lo yaver al l'shonei kozav. V'lo yeshev b'soyd nesachkin. V'lo yismach b'mash esmeichem amei ha'aretz. I'll be very, very careful not to say any untruth. Because again, when you're in the presence of someone who knows that you're lying, you feel funny. Again, you're keenly aware of that great presence. And also, you're not frolicking. But we're talking about the kalus roish. You're not going to get involved with light, cheap forms of entertainment where you just kind of let your hair down. You're always in a solemn state. You're always with a certain heaviness to you. So we call kovid roish, right? Because of the great presence that you are in.
That's one of the anxiety.
What's that?
It sounds like it's a formula for anxiety. That God is, you know, if you live, I don't know if this is obviously, but if you live, you're always in God's presence. That sounds pretty anxiety.
Well, how do we do this without becoming anxious? That's right. How do we do this without becoming anxious? So the truth is, it's an avoda. It's an avoda. The question is how you think of it. When you think of Hashem looking down on you, you can think of it in a number of ways. Some people think of it as, because some people just don't think of it. That's the easiest way of dealing with it. But when you do, right? So there can be a number of ways. You have people who think of Hashem, kiviyachol, chas v'shalom, with a cross look on his face, a frown, waiting to see where he can catch you, right? That's definitely a recipe for anxiety. And I don't know which is better, to live with that awareness or to just not think of it at all. Whatever it is, it's not the right Hashem that you're relating to. But if you're really picturing it in terms of a fatherly smile focused on you all the time, but it's something very, very big. And we're not talking about something stern. We're talking about something very warm, but it's there. So you do want to behave with a certain dignified manner, but it's not in a way of, you know, wondering when is the next bang going to come? Where is he going to trip you up and say, see, I told you so? No, it's something very, very warm and loving and caring. But you, appreciating the immensity of it, want to behave accordingly. So that's how I get lachas. It could be that this is worth elaborating on more. B'li neder, next time, if I remember or if you remind me.
B'li neder.
Yeah. That's the idea. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Ezras Hashem.
Should I just say now?